Well met, and welcome to Episode 7, the Bill/Shakespeare Project podcast for August 9th, 2009. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. Greetings, this is Bill Walthall, and it's July, so this week's podcast is going to include a plot synopsis of Titus Andronicus, plus a review of the Playing Shakespeare DVD. Ah, Titus Andronicus. Where do we begin? Early play, first tragedy, the most grotesque in the canon, so much so that many don't even want to believe that Shakespeare wrote the damn thing. And what's worse for those critics, unlike most plays, there doesn't seem to be a single source for the story. It's not historical. The play isn't based on any previous play, unlike last month's Plautus adaptation. So it's all Shakespeare. Even worse, The Bloody Thing was a hit. It's the first of his plays that saw publication, which meant other theater companies wanted to produce it as well. And they wouldn't want to do that if it was a box office bomb. So what seems to be at work here are a number of things coming together to form a perfect storm of gore. First, Shakespeare was a young writer, and so he wrote in the style of what was popular. The most popular genres in theaters during Shakespeare's day were the Jacobean revenge tragedies like Kyd's The Spanish Tragedy, which is an incredibly bloody tale of revenge. Second, Shakespeare was a young writer, and so he was experimenting with form. Titus misses out on many standard elements of tragedy, but we'll get to that later in the month. And third, Shakespeare was a young writer, and so he was going over the top with almost no restraint, shall we say in a bold bid for attention? Did I mention that Shakespeare was a young writer? Anyway, for the play itself, let's see if I can sum it up. Rome, no year given since, as I said before, there's absolutely no historical basis for the play. The old emperor has died, and his two sons vie for the job. In comes Titus Andronicus, an aging general, victorious from his campaign against the Goths. He has brought home prisoners, Tamora, queen of Goths, and her three sons. The tribunes, including Titus's brother Marcus, like this and ask if Titus wants to be emperor, but he says no. Titus is returned from the war with four sons alive, the other 21 having been killed during the campaign. And to satisfy these war dead, Titus calls for the sacrificial execution of Tamora's eldest son. And despite her pleas, the son is executed. Tamora, in an aside, vows revenge. Titus then throws his support behind the elder of the two brothers vying for emperorship, Saturninus. This swings the vote, and Saturninus wins. He, in return, announces that he will take Titus's daughter Lavinia as his wife and empress. Titus gives as tribute Tamora and her two sons to Saturninus, and Saturninus is instantly attracted more to Tamora than to Lavinia. Saturninus's brother, Bassianus, attempts to take Lavinia. It seems that the two had been betrothed. It also seems that Lavinia's brothers knew about this, but that Titus didn't. When Titus attempts to follow Bassianus to take his daughter back, and Titus's son Mucius blocks the path, Titus kills his own son. Saturninus says he wants no part of Titus's family now and rescinds the marriage offer, instead marrying Tamora. Titus allows Bassianus to have Lavinia, and then attempts to smooth over everything with a hunt the next day. Now, on that next day, we meet Aaron the Moor, who is Tamora's secret lover, who states that he can control Tamora because of her love for him. Her two sons, the ones left alive, Chiron and Demetrius, enter, arguing over Lavinia. Aaron tells them that since Bassianus won't be marrying Lavinia, their only chance for her is rape. Later, we find Aaron putting a sack of gold in a pit, and then being greeted by a more than amorous Tamora. He tells her that he has planned Bassianus' death and Lavinia's rape. Tamora, not shockingly, given her vow of revenge, is good with this. Aaron also gives her a letter for the emperor, then leaves. Bassianus comes in, insults are traded, Tamora's sons arrive, take the side of their mother, then stab and kill Bassianus, and they dump his body in the pit. They then drag Lavinia offstage to rape her, and Tamora leaves. Aaron returns, leading Titus's sons Martius and Quintus, and he leads them to fall into the pit with Bassianus's body. Emperor Saturninus arrives, and he discovers the body of his brother. Enter Tamora and Titus, and she gives Saturninus the letter, which discusses a plot on Bassianus's life and the reward for it. Since the brothers and a bag of gold are also in the pit with Bassianus, Titus's sons are arrested. Now, Marcus, Titus's brother, discovers Lavinia raped and mutilated. Her hands have been chopped off and her tongue cut out. He takes her to Titus, who breaks down. His sons are arrested and are presently standing trial for murder. His remaining son, Lucius, has been banished for attempting to break his brothers out of prison. And now this. Aaron arrives to tell Titus that if he, or his brother, or his son chops off their hand, the brothers will be pardoned. Titus sends Marcus and Lucius off to get an axe, and once they're off stage, he has Aaron cut off his hand. After brother and son return, so too does a messenger from Saturninus, with the heads of Titus's sons and his severed hand. Titus sends Lucius abroad to raise an army. Time passes, and Lavinia is finally able to communicate the names of her attackers, and Titus vows revenge. Meanwhile, Tamara gives birth to a black baby and sends it to Aaron so he can kill it, but he refuses, killing the nurse instead. He plans to exchange the baby with that of a countryman of his whose wife had just birthed a white baby. Saturninus learns of Lucius's return, now leading an army of Goths, and fears for his reign. Tamara comforts his fears, telling him to set up a meeting with Lucius at Titus's house, and she will handle the rest. Lucius and his army capture an unrepentant Aaron. Tamara goes to Titus in an attempt to push him completely over the edge of sanity. She comes dressed as Revenge, and her two sons rape and murder. Her plan seems to work, but Titus has Tamara, or Revenge, leave the two sons behind. Titus captures the sons, then tells them his plan, and then he cuts their throats. The Emperor, Empress, and Lucius all arrive for the meeting. Titus has baked a meal for Saturninus and Tamara, and they begin to eat. Titus asks if the ancient Roman Virginius was right in killing his own daughter because she was raped. Saturninus says yes, because of her shame and the pain the father would feel every time he looked at her. Titus says that this is a fair opinion, and then stabs and kills his own daughter. When he's asked why he has done this, he announces that it was Chiron and Demetrius who had raped her. Saturninus demands that they be brought forth. Titus says they're already there. They're in the meat pies that Tamara has eaten. Titus stabs Tamara. Saturninus stabs Titus. Lucius stabs Saturninus. The tribunes name Lucius as the new emperor, and his first act as emperor, and the last in the play, is to sentence Aaron to death, buried up to the breast and starved to death. Titus Andronicus. Fun stuff. Okay, from the bloodiness that is Titus to something a little more uplifting for the spirit. This week via Netflix, I had the privilege of reacquainting myself with the Playing Shakespeare series from the BBC. Now, back in the day when I was still in the classroom, I had been able to view some of the episodes, and they blew my mind. The series is hosted by John Barton, who was the head of the Royal Shakespeare Company, and he runs through a number of topics in Shakespeare with the help of some of the RSC's actors. Now, back in the early 80s, that included the likes of Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart, Ben Kingsley, and Judy Tench. That's a pretty impressive crew. Now, Barton puts them through exercises and discussions, delving into the nuts and bolts of acting Shakespeare. As Barton puts it in the first disc, this isn't about directing or even reading Shakespeare. There are books for that. This is just about acting. And it's fascinating, pulling in scansion, verse versus prose, pronunciation, and that's just the first three episodes. Now here's a nugget from one of the episodes. In Barton's opinion, the English spoken in the UK today has become very refined since Shakespeare's day, when the language was rougher, more Germanic. So it's his contention that American actors are probably speaking Shakespeare that is more in line with what was spoken back at the Globe. It's really genius stuff, and I can't wait to watch more. Playing Shakespeare is a 4-disc set, it's highly recommended, and it's available now from Netflix and Amazon.com. You've been listening to the Bill/Shakespeare Project podcast for August 9th, 2009. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com, and we shall see thee anon.